today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Nick, I'm amazed that you're able to keep such an incredible amount of flying gun information in your head. How do you do it?
I have a simple philosophy I always follow, Patrick.
Oh, really? What is it?
Look blue, go purple.
Okay, here we are, Thursday, Rockin' the Suburbs, Flying Nun Week 2. I am Patrick Foster.
And I'm Nick Scalera.
Nick, thank you so much for your hard work, organization, and willingness to come over to my basement and sit down here again and plow through this, folks. If I could describe the scene, we don't have any video for our patrons today, but it's crazy down here. You know, ashtrays overflowing, drink, empty wine bottles spilled all over the place. It's really amazing. And Nick, you are not a full-time flying nun scholar. You do have a day job, but you do spend quite a bit of time, you know, researching this. And like you, it gives me immense pleasure to just sit down here and listen to this music and think about these artists. Describe a little bit for those, you know, who might be curious about your origin story. Like, was there one song or one band that sort of was, you know, that moment for you when you had that revelation?
You know, I started listening to this music when I was in college, so it would have been like 88, 89, mm-hmm. 90. And I really was introduced to it by the housemates of mine who had a few of these records in there. And I would say probably what kicked it off for me was that I think it was a 1986, just a clean compilation, uh-huh. right? So we didn't know, we've talked about this before, but there was albums came in the U.S. released on Homestead and other places out of order.
Yeah.
There were compilations. You didn't know what was a real album, yeah. what was not sometimes, but the compilation album, you know, just drop the needle on it. You hear Tally Ho, you hear those first yeah. four or five singles from the clean is what really hooked me into it, and yeah. And from there it was just a matter of just trying to scoop up whatever I could, yeah. you know, really from the clean, the Chills of Verlaine's were probably my favorite, mm-hmm. Albums of theirs that were done in the mid 80s weren't even coming out into the late 80s, and you know, and I was in the college music radio station, and I used to play these things quite a bit, and we had a little bit of a scene where there was a bunch of us that were in the Flying Nun, and if we went to record stores, if we found something, and it was all word of mouth. You know, I know Patrick has, you know, had you'd subscribe to fanzines and other things, right. but I didn't even really, I wasn't into the fanzine scene at all. It was all just sort of like, hey, I heard this, check this out. Did you hear that? But we'd try to see bands when they came to town, yep. Which wasn't very often. But yeah, that was it. You know, it was a lifelong a pleasure to continue yeah. to, and you know, and it's great that as we'll pick up here today, these bands are still recording, still putting out quality stuff. There are offshoots and there are you know, bands similar to them.
That's
but
amazing.
Boy, it's really, you know, for a country the size of New Zealand, I don't know what's in the water down there, but boy, some really great music.
And we talked, you know, when we were fortunate enough to interview Martin Phillips, we talked about the difficulty of those bands getting to the United States. It was likely something where they probably weren't going to make a lot of money. It was more of a journey to you know, experience these fans. And, you know, I don't know. Obviously, that was super important. So, you know, it's hard. It's really hard for me to put myself back in that time nowadays, you know, when at the click of a button, you can go find a lot of this stuff and find this information. But it was putting stuff together, and it was exciting to, you know, as each little piece of the mystery, you know, unfurled. So
exactly. Yeah. yeah. You know, you were part of a sort of a small club,
yeah,
which is cool. Always has its attraction, but the rewards were great. So it was yeah. always worth the effort. But I think it's great for any new fans out there. New fans, old fans, people who have, like, I've heard rumors of this, what, you know, it's all out there now.
It
and
is.
I hope that some of this might help you kind of, you know, wade through the sea and pick out some favorites and some things that you might discover. And in fact, more and more of it is being released every day.
Yeah,
and
that's
Flying
right.
Nun is still a thing. There are re-releases coming out in really nice packages. So you know, in fact, I bought the Dunny Double as you know, I spent a lot of money, came over from overseas.
Right.
It's not an original, but it was packaged, you know, exactly the way it was,
right.
very carefully done and curated. So,
yeah, and 20 years down the road, somebody will be happy that that's there,
right.
no matter what it was. So, you know, like some of the records I pulled out, I will say to Nick, "What is this? I don't even know what it
You're
is,
right.
but I know I bought it." And for those who have come this week to hear the Flying Nun stuff because of, you know, something you saw on the socials or a promotion or just word of mouth. We did last year, actually aired almost a year ago, episode 330 through episode 334 was a week of Flying Nun. So, you know, it'd be great if you guys could go back and listen to that. And also episode 556 through 558 were our interview with Martin Phillips of the Chills, who we've referenced, and that was just earlier in March. I just want to say, too, to anyone who wants to chip in with their opinion, I always forget the phone number. My co-host Jim Linehan is not here this week, but it is. We do have a voice line if you want to call up and leave a message. The number is
612-440-1984.
Thank you, Nick. So from there, let's dive in. And I wanted to mention those earlier episodes because newer music from artists covered in the first Flying Nun week is what we're going to talk about. So the Chills are a great example of that. The Clean is another great example, and the Bats. So where do you want to start? You want to start with the Clean?
Yeah, let's start with the Clean. Okay. We just talked about that. You know, I think we referenced this a couple of days ago, but you know, the first incarnation of the Clean kind of put out some great stuff and like dropped the mic and you know, for in 1983, right. And I was like, we're done. But they weren't done, alas, thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully.
You know, that they went on to, so in 1983, there was sort of the official breakup, and then Hamish and David put together Great Unwashed with Peter Guttridge and other things going on. But in the sort of the late 80s, the Clean started to kind of gel together. There was like a reunion concert type thing in London, and you know, I don't doubt that some of this might have been fueled by the fact that alternative music bands in the U.S. were citing the Clean, and that they were sort of well known, and there was an interest in hearing from the Clean again. And you know, they did reunite and go on sort of a big tour in 89 and 90. They toured New Zealand, U.S., U.K., Europe, and you know, what they basically did is wrote songs on the road and put together this album Vehicle in 1990. And it weirdly enough, it was their first full album.
That's
they hadn't
right.
actually had an album
that
before.
That always blew my mind.
You know, the boy, Vehicle starts at minute one. It goes to like 35 minutes. There's not a second of non-quality on it.
So awesome.
Just really classic Clean. I mean, I would say it's a little bit tighter and a little less adventurous than some of the early stuff, but indie alt pop songcraft, 2 to 3 minutes, guitar, you know, guitar-based music. This is some fabulous stuff. And Robert Scott of the Bats also has some great songs on here as the bassist. So I would highly recommend Vehicle. If you can get it, listen to the whole thing. Yeah. Well, you can get it. Get it on Spotify, wherever. But let's hear a track off of that.
Moved on to square one. Moved on to square one.
Track from Vehicle, Drawing to a Hole, and released on Flying Nun in New Zealand, but on the Rough Trade label in the rest of the world in the U.S. So that's kind of interesting too.
And you know, the Clean did go on to put out a bunch of albums since then. I mean, they, throughout the '90s, we have Modern Rock in 1995, Unknown Country in 1996. Mm-hmm. You know, there's sort of like these pauses. They get back together. Robert would work on the Bats. There'd be David's you know, solo stuff.
Yep.
So there was a lot going on. But I also just wanted to, you know, call attention to the album Getaway from 2001. Mm-hmm. There's just a fantastic song. I sort of reacquainted myself with the later Clean catalog as part of this. And I'd forgotten that, you know, that Stars from Getaway is just, I would put it up there as one of the best songs in the Clean catalog.
It's amazing.
It's a fabulous song.
Mm-hmm. there's something about the way the bass and drums lay just slightly behind the beat and the guitar kind of pokes and fuzzes in and out that makes the clean so magical. And that's such a great example of it. Very mature, aged, and ripe and kind of clean sound. It's really awesome.
Yeah, and you know, it's they put out another album called Mr. Pop in 2009. Mm-hmm. It's also good, worth checking out. They have toured in the U.S. as recently as 2014. Mm-hmm. I am as sure as Patrick holds out hope that they'll again reunite and tour. I haven't heard anything. I'm listening as hard as I can, but I wouldn't be surprised. They have done it and in the past, so anything's possible. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen. Exactly. Well said, Sarah. And, you know, Merge Records, as we mentioned, out of Chapel Hill, has been releasing a bunch of these albums in the U.S., and it's great that they come out right at the same time here that they do there. So it's, just a continuing story that we hope continues to go.
So getting back to, we're going to talk about the Chills now.
Yes,
and
we are.
I don't want to go over territory that's well-trodden. In a quick review, we talk about the Chills quite a bit in Flying Nun Week One. They are Martin Phillips is sort of the singular genius visionary behind the sound. There's been many lineup changes. You know, I would refer you back to that interview and those episodes. We get into the Chills history, and Martin talks, all the way through the span of their career. The reason I wanted to sort of feature them here is because there's been a recent rebirth with Martin Phillips. And, you know, in 1992 was the first big breakup, and that was they were in England. There was hope that Flying Nun would make them into a big commercial success, but for various reasons, it went nowhere and it kind of all collapsed. And Martin came back to New Zealand and went through a lot of hard times with addiction and with hepatitis C that had a health scare and managed to survive that. But what's really just been fabulous for both of us was getting to meet Martin, and not only getting to meet him, which was one of the most exciting things to happen to me ever, but just so happy too. That he's back putting out new music. The band toured the U.S. There's a documentary about the Chills that has finally been released in New Zealand. I mean, I hope to see it here.
Yep.
So he's really kind of on a victory tour to a certain extent. It's certainly well deserved, and we're so happy that he's here. And I thought maybe we'd play a song or two from some of his more recent material.
Absolutely.
So Silver Bullets in 2015 was kind of the first full length album, although, as Martin said in the interview, it was a bit uneven in the sense that there was a lot of music that had been germinating and he kind of pulled it together. But Warm Waveforms, a great song off of Silver Bullets. We maybe hear a bit of that, and then chat a little bit about Snowbound, which came out last year.
Beautiful song.
Yes.
You know what was exciting to me, Nick, when we spoke to Martin, was how much energy he seemed to have for the future. And he thinks like, hey, you know, I wanted to show people that Silver Bullets was not just a fluke, and that Snowbound was not a fluke either, and that we're really going to be back in full strength with a producer, and now he feels like he can really do it.
Right, exactly. And that's the birth of Snowbound, which came out in 2018, which is the, they did this sort of short tour of the U.S. a few months back, and they also played at South by Southwest, several really well-attended, well-regarded shows at South by Southwest, along with premiering the film. You know, it's just an exciting time. Snowbound is definitely an album start to finish with intent, done with a producer and sort of like songs where we're going to write an album. Or the songs, definitely worth listening to. Some great stuff on there. I also just want to sort of put a pin in it, in Soft Bomb. So Soft Bomb from 1992 was the album that you know they'd moved to a major label slash right Heavenly Pop Hit had come out in 1990 and they made a lot of noise and it was some great tunes, and then things went upside down, and in 1992 Martin comes up with Soft Bottom, and the label essentially dropped him after that because it's you know, just want to put a plug in, it's a fantastic album.
It really is.
If you ask me at a concert, standing by the plane, I've said I'm okay, this is what I mean. But now a little later, a crisis has evolved, those ancient complications remain unresolved. They say you have to give them.
Given it's got this weird reputation because it wasn't as poppy as Heavenly Pop Hit, but there are some great pop hits on there. There are some really introspective moments, and it's just worth checking out and going back in the catalog for at some point.
Totally agree.
It kind of got painted with a brush that it didn't deserve.
Yep, totally agree.
You know, that's the sad part of the story. We're in this sort of rebirth right now, which is just, you know, tremendously exciting for us. And, you know, I know he had mentioned he's working new material is out soon. So I think we can expect more from the Chills, you know, very soon.
Yep.
Which is great. We talked about the Bats a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
So the Bats, you know, just talking about classic bands that continue to produce music, and you know, they've been active with the same lineup since New Year's Eve 1982.
Incredible to
right?
me.
Yeah. They've released 9 albums. They've toured New Zealand, the United States, Europe, UK, Australia, et cetera, et cetera. You know, just sort of a consistent quality from start to finish is what I feel about the Bats.
I totally agree with you.
You know, and I do want to mention though that there's one album that came out in 1995 called Couchmaster, which is might be the most difficult album in their collection.
Yeah.
But it's they sort of departed for the formula with Couchmaster. It's a bit darker, a little bit more, you know, dreamy. There's like it's kind of like song fragments. It really breaks down the sort of the Bats formula, but there's some just fantastic stuff on there. And so I maybe want to hear Afternoon in Bed, which is really the standout tune for that album.
Gotta say again, Afternoon in Bed by the Bats from Couchmaster. Nick made a fabulous playlist called Flying Nun Week 2 that we will make sure we share up on the Suburbs Pod outlets. But I'll tell you, Nick, I put this playlist on the other day in the car, hit the shuffle, button, and this song came up first, and I could not for the first 45 seconds remember. I knew I'd heard it before, but I didn't know what it was, and it was like tripping me out because it was so cool, and that, you know, sort of liquid synthesizer line at the beginning just blew me away.
Yeah, it's fabulous stuff, and again, it's, you know, it's slightly outside the canon to a certain extent.
Yeah,
but that album is worth diving into. Give it a listen. Give it some time. I will also bring up, I mean, they're still making into the 2010s. Is that where we are?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, 2011, Free All Monsters, fabulous album, top to finish, and the Deep Set, which just came out in late 2017. You know, also just fantastic. They're still producing, and they've got some new material they're working on. They've they've made some statements on social media, so look forward to more from them as well. We'll move on in a little sort of a different direction here.
Yeah,
we'll talk about someone that you might not have heard of, or maybe you have. So so Franziska Griffin is part of the seminal Flying Nun band Look Blue, Go Purple, who we discussed in Flying Nun Week 1, which was an all-female band that put out just some amazing songs in the early to mid 80s. Didn't last too long. We talked a little bit later, a little bit earlier, that Leslie Paris went on to be also part of the group, went on to become one of the sort of the main executives at Flying Nun in the mid 90s. But Franziska put out a new album just in January of 2019, and she hasn't done a lot of solo work, and I'm not really aware of too much, but I just thought it was really interesting because so this album's called The Spaces Between. And it's sort of an all-star roster of Dunedin music folks. So she's got Alistair Galbraith from The Rip and Plagal Grind, who's another like old-school Flying Nun band.
It really is.
It's got Alan Haig, who was in The Chills. A lot of folks were in The Chills, but Alan Haig was also in Snapper. And Mick Alborado from The Terminals. And Kath Webster, who was also in Look Blue, Go Purple, contribute to this album. So I've seen some live clips. It rocks pretty hard. The album doesn't necessarily pick up on that stuff, but it's worth checking it out. And in fact, one of the songs on there, so Franziska Griffin was actually, she has changed her name, but she was married to Martin Bull.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
And
I never knew that.
So Martin Bull was the drummer from the Chills, who we talked about in previous episodes, who had sort of a tragic death early on. And there is a song on this album called Martin, and his name is spelled M-A-R-T-Y-N.
Right.
So that's a song about him. So there's sort of a deep Flying Nun reference on there as well. But yeah, obviously, you know, she's moved on. She's remarried. She has, in fact, a couple of her children play on. It kind of reminds me of Jeff Tweety. It's one son is on bass, and so she's brought them in as well. But anyway, let's listen to this. I picked out a song here from the new album called Stardust.
If time could take this wind that's blowing in again, I would ride it to the end. Watch you go, and go when you're gone. It goes on this time and on.
Song begins to fracture and fall apart right there. It's really getting interesting, but so cool to hear that. And I have not had a chance yet to listen to the whole album. That'll be one of the first things I dig into when we get done recording this. And you know, Nick, a lot of people who listen to that first Flying Nun Week, and you know, we make fun of ourselves and kid ourselves that the episodes went on pretty long, and we have some good natured fun with Nick when he gets starts talking about Flying Nun, he never stops, but you know, all teasing and in good fun. But there was a lot of people who listened to those episodes relatively for Rock in the Suburbs, and one thing that I remember very clearly was that most people had not heard of Look Blue, Go Purple, and they were so, you know, thankful and amazed to kind of hear that band and discover them. So it's great that she put out some new music.
It is. It's great. And, you know, obviously go back and there's a great compilation of all the Look Blue, yeah, Go Purple stuff. So it's been made easy for you, mm-hmm, and later by Flying Down in later iterations, and you can listen to pretty much all their stuff, yep, on Spotify. But, you know, I think Francisca's work here is just interesting because it's very adventurous.
Yeah.
You know, this is a later in life effort. You, yeah, know, I really applaud her for sort of getting out there and doing that. So check out the rest of that album when you get a chance.
Can't wait, especially with all those collaborators. I think it's a cool way to make a record.
It is.
Yeah.
Very much. So we'll finish off with the Verlaines.
Okay.
So we talked quite a bit in Flying Nun Week 1 about Dr. Graham Downs, who is the,
yes, we did,
the genius musicologist behind the Verlaines. And Graham Downs is also a senior lecturer at Otago University,
yes,
in Dunedin. He can speak and has written things that you will not believe. Just in terms of like modal and chord changes and fly, you know, and how to get back to the home chord. And it's
amazing.
Really erudite stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think when you listen to the Verlaines, you do get the sense that there was a lot of musical knowledge behind what was happening there. And then as time went on, that knowledge has become like really
incredible.
You know, it's in print,
yeah,
and it's very specific. You know, so he's kept himself pretty busy academically. There have been a few albums. There was, in fact, one in 2009 called Corporate Moronic, which is worth checking out. It's very much more experimental,
yep,
than the Verlaine stuff. It's not as tight. There's a lot of, I'd say, you know, there's a lot of jazzy sort of jazz influence, mm-hmm, elements to it, mm-hmm, kind of a chamber kind of music sound to it. You know, it's worth checking out if you have the chance. I'll also mention that Graham is involved in this thing that they've done 3 years in a row now called the Tally Ho Concert, which is done with the Dunedin Symphony Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And they do Flying Nun songs with a full orchestra.
Oh, wow.
So Graham, of course, orchestrates all of,
yeah,
that and writes it and does the arrangements. And this year they did have Martin Phillips was also, you know, so some of the main artists will sing and then behind the orchestra, and they've brought in some new singers and done some retakes on songs. So you can, you know, check that out on the internet. It's a really cool project. It's in its third year. You know, Graham Downs is
amazing.
Was part of the scene. He's also like a big documenter of the scene. I've read somewhere that he's been working on a book about, you know, and you can imagine how many, you think this is long, you know, there'll be a bunch of pages behind this. This has been a project that's been going on for a long time. And that leads me to the new album. So there's a new album that the Verlaines are actually going to release.
Wow.
Now, and they put out on their Facebook page a few months ago, they said, our new album, Dunedin Spleen, is set for release in February 2019.
Mm-hmm.
19 songs on double vinyl. Thank you for your patience. Well, apparently this has been in the works for like four or five
right,
years. Some of the earlier versions of these songs have been played by Graham on like solo shows. And so this has been in gestation for a long time. Now it does actually have an official release date of May 10th, 2019,
okay,
on Flying Nun Records.
Okay. And right at the last minute here, Nick, it looks like the title track has appeared on Bandcamp, so let's hear some of that.
The young men with time not ticking yet, freedom in their eyes, play scoreless games of false back under blood red autumn skies, running up and down the grass, working up a sweat, making good the fading light and the accumulating debt.
beautiful, typically poetic Graham Downs lyrics there.
You know, these songs have been in gestation for a while, and it's been a while since we've heard from the Verlaines, and I'm not exactly sure who all the members of the Verlaines are currently, but, you know, keep an eye out for that. I mean, it's not that far away. I haven't heard a lot of advanced, you know, marketing for this, but for those of you that are Verlaines fans, check it out, coming up very soon.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it. And to add to that, legacy is pretty amazing. So again, yeah, Verlaines, Francesca Griffin, we touched on The Clean, The Chills, and The Bats, and again, go back, episode 330, I believe, was the first Flying Nun Week where we talked about those foundational bands and core of the legend, I guess. And I've been looking here on the Flying Nun site while we were listening to Graham, and I can't seem to find a pre-order link for the double album, but
I'm a little scared because there have been rumors of this coming out for a while, and there was that Facebook post, but the fact that he got on Radio New Zealand and put the marker in there makes it feel like it might actually happen.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, there's a little bit of trepidation there, but hopefully some new music from the Verlaines very soon.
Once we have it in our hands, we'll feel better.
We'll be the first to know.
And I should say, Nick on Twitter, at Nick Scalera, is a great place to follow for information on Flying Nun and other great music. Nick does a fantastic job of curating his lists and passing along news and information when that becomes available. As he says, he talks about listening on Twitter, which is great. So make sure to follow him at Nick Scalera. You can follow us at Suburbs Pod, and if you plug that into the computer on the search, you'll find kind of everything for us. Would love to hear, you know, your feedback. There's plenty of ways to do that. You can find us on all the socials and leave us a comment. We've got one more day. We're coming up to Friday. I'm feeling a little nostalgic and sad already. I don't want to wait a whole nother year for Flying Nun Week 3, Nick. But what are we going to talk about tomorrow?
So tomorrow we're going to go into, you know, new music from New Zealand, essentially. Great. So some of this stuff is on Flying Nun. Most of it, I think, isn't. I mean, mm-hmm. Flying Nun is putting out a few things here and there. And, you know, I think they're very selective in their choices. And you'll hear that from what we play. But there's some real exciting music coming out of New Zealand, not just indie guitar pop, but other genres of music. So we'll try to cue some of that stuff up for you tomorrow.
Fantastic. Nick, thank you so much for your preparation and work, and I can't wait to hear what we have tomorrow. And what do you want to play out with here? Do you have anything?
I'll honestly try Rooftops from the Bats. This is from their 2017 album, The Deep Set.
I am Patrick Foster. This is Rockin' the Suburbs, and our Flying Nun resident is
Nick Scalera.
Nick, thank you so much, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Tottenham Hotspur fan and an Arsenal fan sitting here getting along so well.
See, that's what Flying Nun does for
right.
You. You can bring cats and dogs living together.
Even the most disparate fans together.
Temptation to tidy it up too much.